Time for Recollections. The National Broadcasting Company invites you to relax and reminisce with Recollections from the early days of radio. In this special series, we delve into the vast NBC library of sound to relive the memorable moments of radio's past, the stars who entertained you then, the special events that thrilled you. And to guide us through these priceless recollections, here is Ed Herlihy.
Thank you, Fred Collins, and good evening, everyone. Before we plunge into the past and recall radio as it was way back when, let me tell you that beginning with tonight's program, we have an additional 5 minutes of airtime. You've been asking me for a longer show. Now we've got a half hour instead of 25 minutes to listen leisurely to these excerpts from our NBC Library of Sound. Our younger fans write that they like Recollections because it gives them a chance to hear for themselves the stars and events that they've heard their parents talk about. Well, they've probably heard repeatedly of the early 1930s, the Depression, the beginning of the Franklin Roosevelt era, and tonight I've planned to give them, and all of us, a sample of what radio presented back in 1933. At that time, the Boswell Sisters was one of the most popular acts on the air, but Wedding Bells broke up the sister team, and 1933 saw Connie Boswell's first efforts as a soloist. Well, time has flown so fast that I can hardly believe it was 24 years ago that Connie did this one.
Away from the city that hurts and mocks, I'm standing alone by the desolate dock in the still and the chill. I see the horizon, the great unknown. My heart has an ache, it's as heavy as stone. Will the dawn coming on make it light? I cover the waterfront. I'm watching the sea. Will the one I love be coming back to me? I cover the waterfront in search of my love, and I'm covered by a starless sky above. Here am I, patiently waiting, hoping and longing. Oh, how I've yearned. Where are you? Are you forgetting? Do you remember? Will you return? I cover the waterfront. I'm watching the sea. For the one I love must soon come back to me.
Connie Boswell striking out alone in 1933, and today still one of our top recording artists. March 4th, 1933 lingers in our memories as the beginning of a new era in politics, the day Franklin Delano Roosevelt was inaugurated president. When we think back to those days, we don't recall events abroad that were beginning to shake the world, or here at home for that matter, for we were too wrapped up in our own problems of eking out a living, 16 million persons were jobless. Prices had collapsed. 2/3 of our factories were idle. The land itself was ravaged by storms and drought and floods. As the voice of the new president went out over the air, millions listened, millions with despair and defeat in their hearts. And they heard him say that the only thing they had to fear was fear itself.
President Hoover, Mr. Chief Justice, my friends, this is a day of national consecration. And I am certain that on this day, my fellow Americans expect that on my induction into the presidency, I will address them with a candor and a decision which the present situation of our people impels. This is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. Nor need we shrink from honestly facing conditions in our country today. This great nation will endure as it has endured. We will thrive and we will prosper. So first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Our greatest primary task is to put people to work. This is no unsolvable problem if we face it wisely and courageously. It can be accomplished in part by direct recruiting by the government itself, treating the task as we would treat the emergency of a war, but at the same time, through this employment, accomplishing greatly needed projects to stimulate and reorganize the use of our great natural resources. Hand in hand with that, I am prepared, under my constitutional duty, to recommend the measures that a stricken nation in the midst of a stricken world may require. These measures, or such other measures, as the Congress may build out of its experience and wisdom, I shall seek within my constitutional authority to bring to speedy adoption. But in the event that the Congress shall fail to take one of these two courses, in the event that the national emergency is still critical, I shall not evade the clear course of duty that will then confront me. I shall ask the Congress for the one remaining instrument to meet the crisis: broad executive power to wage a war against the emergency as great as the power that would be given to me if we were in fact invaded by a foreign foe. For the trust reposed in me, I will return the courage and the devotion that befit the time. I can do no less.
That was the dynamic voice of Franklin D. Roosevelt as he spoke to the nation in his first inaugural address in 1933. Well, in those days, people didn't have money to spend on outside entertainment. For many, radio was the only bright spot, the only bit of beauty in their lives. Every Monday night, they could tune in the voice of Firestone, and beautiful music would make them forget that times were hard. Here, for example, is how Alois Avrilla introduced Richard Crooks back in March of 1933.
By popular request, Mr. Crooks will sing, as the first of his selections this evening, the familiar and beloved song written by Chauncey Alcott nearly a generation ago, My Wild Irish Rose.
If you listen, I'll sing you song of a flower that's now drooped and dead, yet dearer to me, yes, than all of its mates, though each holds aloft its proud head. 'Twas given to me by clearer by far than the world's brightest star. And I call her my wild Irish rose. My wild Irish rose, the sweetest flower that grows. You may search everywhere, but none can compare with my wild Irish rose. Someday for my sake, she may let me take the bloom from my wild Irish
That was the voice of Richard Crooks on The Voice of Firestone 24 years ago. Still lovely, isn't it? Another big program back in 1933 was Showboat. So many of you have asked to hear excerpts from this show that I have hesitated to tell you that we could not find examples of it in our library of sound. Oh, yes, there are some things that we don't have. But this week, I searched through some old aluminum records, and there they were. The stars of Showboat preserved on aluminum discs. Yes, that's the way records were made in those days, by cutting directly into the metal. Now, the only problem of trying to recreate the sound that once was captured in those metal grooves is that modern phono pickups are useless. You have to use an old-time record player with fiber or cactus needles. Imagine. One needle lasts only a couple of minutes, and then you have to stop, resharpen it on a sandpaper disc. Well, this is exactly the slow procedure our recording engineers had to go through to rescue the sound on these aluminum discs. So as we play the tapes made from those records, and you hear that cactus needle scraping the metal grooves, please try to listen through it, for this was the only way we could recreate the next three excerpts from the Maxwell House Showboat. Here's Charles Wininger, Captain Andy.
I brought Mary Lou along tonight. Here she is, and she's going to sing. Dear old Victor Herbert's Rose of the World, her favorite and mine. Come on, Mary Lou, let's go.
In all the thousand gardens, a rose is sweet and fair, and summer proud and royal, on summer soft and rare. In all the thousand gardens, no rose
Muriel Wilson, the Mary Lou of Showboat. And do you remember the comedy team on Showboat? So typical of radio back in 1933. Here they are, Molasses and January.
Yeah.
Come on out here, boy. Apples, hurry up.
Yeah, I'm coming.
This son in this some town.
I'll stay there.
Boy, you know the first time I was in this town, I met my wife for the first time.
You did?
Boy, if I can remember, I never will forget the wedding.
Nice.
Oh, boy, there I was all dressed up in a light blue suit.
Now, ain't that pretty?
Yeah, it was a wedding present from my wife.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's the reason why her brother wasn't one of the ushers.
I see.
Catch on?
Yeah, catch on.
Finally, it come time for the execution.
For the what?
I mean the ceremony.
Hey, go ahead.
So I've got all ready.
Got ready.
Boy, there she was. She had a couple of bridesmaids holding up her train.
Train, yeah.
Yeah, and a couple of safety pins was holding up my britches.
Oh, too big, huh?
Yeah, and as we started down the aisle, they all started hollering. They coming down.
They coming down.
They coming down. I looked, but everything was all right.
Well, that's well.
And after us got back from the funny moon, us settled down to housekeeping.
Oh, keeping house.
Oh, son, us had the coolest little, loveliest little home.
Nice place.
Oh, boy.
And us had hot and cold running water.
Hot and cold running water?
Yeah, the ceiling leaked and so did the radiator.
That's pretty good.
And us had lovely licorice light.
Oh, electric light.
In the house across the street.
That's close enough.
Anyhow, my wife, she started cooking right away.
Yes.
Oh, boy, she was a lovely cook.
Good cook.
Oh, boy, she was something. I called her a religious cook.
Why a religious cook?
Because everything she served was either a sacrifice or a burnt offering.
Oh, that's bad.
Boy, did she put out them burnt-up roses.
Molasses and January. And here's another delightful excerpt from Showboat. The Maxwell House Quartet. Generous excerpt from the Maxwell House Showboat, just as you wanted it. Now, still in 1933, we ask you to remember the regular Thursday night broadcast of that great comic, punster, and buffoon, Edwin. Here he is with Graham McNamee.
Oh, yes, Graham, you know how he did it?
Yeah.
Well, he'd shoot one grouse, then he'd shoot another grouse, you know.
Yeah.
And then he would go and shoot a canvas back. Then he'd start in, he'd shoot another grouse, then he'd shoot another grouse.
Yeah.
Then he'd shoot a canvas.
Another canvas.
Yeah, it was the sort of a grouse-to-grouse canvas, Graham.
Did he do any work over there, Chief?
Well, coming back on the boat, he was, Graham.
Yeah.
There was a shipment of wild animals on a boat.
Uh-huh.
And my uncle doctored all the wild animals.
He doctored them, eh?
Yes.
Well, how did he treat the lions, Chief?
Oh, with the utmost respect, Mr. Graham.
Now I'm convinced he should get married.
Yeah?
Yeah, he needs a woman around the house.
Oh, he's keeping company, Graham.
Yeah?
Oh, yes. He took a sail out last Sunday, I think it was. They went canoeing. In the middle of the lake, she refused to kiss him in the canoe, you know. So he paddled her back.
She's a nice girl, Steve.
Oh, yes, Graham. He likes the girl. But he claims that she's too extravagant, you know.
That's bad.
Oh, yes, it is, Graham. It's terrible. You see, every time she sees a taxi cab... She gets paralyzed from the hips down. You know what I mean.
Well, you know what I mean.
I've seen them.
Hey, Chief, we have some letters here. Let's get at them, shall we?
Yes, sure.
Well, here's one from Zanesville, Ohio.
I've been to Zanesville.
Here's by, Chief. My husband and I played a game of bridge with a couple next door. All through the game, the man kept sniffling. You think he was signaling to his wife? Signed, Ace Trumper.
The man was sniffling? Dear Ace Trumper. I hate a person like that anyhow. Dear Ace Trumper. It was probably a code signal of some kind. And as he was sniffling, I would say it was a cold in the nose.
That was really,
No,
well, here's one from Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, I've been around that.
Dear Chief, I'm in love with a girl.
Yeah.
And when I'm with her, I feel that I could kiss her till the cows come home.
Oh, great.
But I'm afraid because her two brothers are policemen, and I'm afraid they'll come home early and catch me. What shall I do? Signed, in love.
Dear in love, I can understand you wanting to kiss her till the cows come home. But as you are afraid her two brothers will catch you, and as they are policemen, you better kiss her till the bulls come home.
Well, nowadays, that same Edwin is turning in some superb dramatic performances. You've seen him not only on TV, but also in the movie, The Great Man. From comedy to song, which was pretty much the pattern of the radio variety show in 1933, and what great songs we had in 1933. Hits like Stormy Weather, Temptation, Smoke Gets in Your Eyes, Don't Blame Me, Did You Ever See a Dream Walking, and this one. Sung by a rising young star in 1933, Francis Langford.
I walk along the street of sorrow, the boulevard of broken dreams, where gigolo and gigolette can take a kiss without regret. So they forget their broken dreams. You laugh tonight and cry tomorrow when you behold your shattered schemes. And gigolo and gigolette wake up to find their eyes are wet with tears that tell of broken dreams. Here is where you'll always find me, always walking up and down. But I left my soul behind me in an old cathedral town. The joy that you find here you borrow, you cannot keep it long, it seems. But gigolo and gigolette still sing a song and dance along the boulevard of broken dreams. Cannot keep it long, it seems. But Gigolo and Gigolette still sing a song and dance along the boulevard of broken dreams.
Boulevard of Broken Dreams, Francis Langford in 1933. Ah, there were so many big dreams becoming reality in that year. The great century of Progress Fair at Chicago. The year that Radio City, from which point I am speaking to you, opened. The year that Congress created the TVA and a host of other alphabetical agencies. And in Germany there were dreams beginning, too. The world-shattering dreams of Adolf Hitler. I hope the youngsters in our audience will forgive us if we reminisce a little too much, but all these excerpts of 1933 from our Library of Sound put me in that kind of a mood. Well, now, let's see. Next week, we'll visit the past again. The delightful Viennese music of my old friend Sigmund Romberg. We'll hear Jack Benny, too, the night he introduced Kenny Baker for the first time, and many other recollections of radio's early days. Of course, your letters and your cards are always appreciated. If you haven't sent in a request, just drop a card to me, Ed Herlihy, H-E-R-L-I-H-Y, care of NBC, 30 Rockefeller Plaza, New York. I'll try to find what you want. But for now, good night, everyone.
Ed Herlihy has been your host on Recollections. Join him next week at this time for more highlights in the history of radio broadcasting. This is Fred Collins. Recollections is an NBC Radio Network production directed by Bob Maurer.
NBC takes you across the nation, around the world, with news on the hour and the exciting hotline service, all day, every day, on most of these stations. ¶¶